Hello, I'm Terry Cheek. You're listening to Crisis and Concern for December 3rd, 2016. Welcome to a program that addresses current events and their solutions as found within God's Word. Call your family, friends, and church members. Tell them the latest Crisis and Concern podcast is posted for immediate download at theinspiringword.org, and we're also available on iTunes as the Inspiring Word Podcast. On today's program, we're going to discuss an issue that has came back into the news recently, something that is very disturbing to myself and to many in Christian leadership and in the pastorate around America. Over the last week or so, there has been an outcry, an outright attack by the mainstream media against Chip and Joanna Gaines, the host of a very popular home improvement program, Fixer Upper, as seen on HGTV. The controversy stems from the church that they attend and the position their pastor holds against same-sex marriage. With the elections over and having suffered a humiliating defeat, the militant LGBT group has found what they feel is another victim they can bully until their livelihood is canceled and eliminated. The LGBT is attempting to repeat what they accomplished against David and Jason Benham in 2014. You may remember they ran a successful real estate operation, and it was on television with the flipping houses and things of that nature. Well, their program was canceled by HGTV after the LGBT mob bullied the network into submission. What is amazing to me is that neither the Benham brothers or the Gaines family used their programming to come out against the LGBT movement. The LGBT group has sought out each of these families. They have went after these families, and they have deliberately pried into their personal lives, their worship, and their church family to deliberately and maliciously create a distraction, which puts their employer, their family, their church, and their community on the spot, all with the intent to harm them financially. Well, this reinforces the position many evangelical leaders and pastors like myself have voiced for many years. The focus of the LGBT is not equality. It is the elimination of Christianity. We have seen bakers and florists and now media programming attacked because of biblical position. Biblical position that is opposed to same-sex marriage and relationships. There is recent evidence which supports their claim of diversity is nothing more than a smokescreen. The clothing designer for Michelle Obama, the First Lady of the United States, that clothing designer has publicly refused to work with incoming First Lady Melania Trump. The reason given publicly was that she disagreed with the Trumps politically. If freedom of religion, which is a constitutional right, does not extend into a person's business practice, why does a business have the right to discriminate based upon political affiliation? The entire argument is one to eliminate or silence Christianity. It has nothing to do with diversity. It has nothing to do with rights. It has nothing to do with opportunity. It has everything to do with eliminating or silencing Christianity in America, because the LGBT group knows, they know their lifestyle is sinful. The LGBT has become so vocal, so brash, and so militant over the matter that it is time for Christian voices once again to come forward. So let's take a few moments and let's let God's Word speak for itself. I'm going to read the same passage through two translations. First, a traditional King James translation. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they lawfully know. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now I want to reread that passage in the ESV. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculation rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Here in 1 Timothy, along with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is exhorting the church to examine itself, considering practices it is allowing to take place which are destructive to its testimony. The passage I just quoted from 1 Timothy gives Paul instructing Timothy about the dangers of false teachers within the church. These teachers are believed to be pastors, pastors who do not have a sound understanding of their doctrine, or they have taken that sound understanding and they have perverted it, or they have been swerved and swayed from it. And because of that, they teach or permit behavior that is ungodly. First, we see the law is good if it is used in a godly manner. The law is God's word. It is only good if it is used as given by God Himself. Wrongly applying it does not change the meaning. It only perverts the teaching and leads people into hell. And that is something that the church must be wary of today. If we are not careful, if we are not deliberately and intentionally handling God's word the way He wants it handled, we are held responsible for the spiritual condition of people that sit underneath us, that listen to us. In a simple application, Paul tells Timothy the law is given for those who are lawless and disobedient, the ungodly, the unsaved. The law is given for the unsaved. It is given for all of us when we are unsaved so that we can see how we fall short according to God's expectation. It is given for the unholy and the profane. These include the sexually immoral and those who practice homosexuality. It is not exclusive to homosexuality. It includes the adulterer. It includes the fornicator. It includes the pedophile. It includes those who practice sexually immoral behavior, including homosexuality. Homosexuals aren't being singled out by Christianity, but homosexuality is not being avoided by Christianity either. We can't do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says the very same thing, only under a different application. The point I'm making is that born-again Christians will not budge on their conviction of God's Word being inerrant and inspired by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter if we are discussing a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or a layperson. No legislation or executive order will move us. We hold the Word of God as the highest authority in our lives, not because we hate a people group, but because we hate sin. All sin. And the born-again Christian will confront all sin. We hate it because we have been redeemed from the consequences of it. We daily repent of it in our own personal lives. We're not immune to it. We're not above it. But we understand how God has blessed our hearts, how God has saved us from the consequences of it, and we understand the testimony of that, and we understand what God's Word expects from us. However, when a group like the LGBT chooses to confront Christianity and challenge it by attempting to justify a lifestyle the Bible calls sin, and in the process attacks those who have quietly and peacefully worshiped God for their conscience and His Word, it's time for Christians to stand up and stand together once again. So, I make a plea to the LGBT groups that are listening. It is not the church you should fear. It is the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. You should fear Him. It is He you are attacking. It is He who is showing you grace right now. It is He who will judge all men in His time per His Word, the Bible. It is the testimony of the church, the body of Christ, that will convict you. It is this testimony that is offered in love, seeking your redemption. You're not hated. You're loved enough to be given the truth of God's Word. To the business owners across America who operated under the convictions of God's Word, I stand with you in prayer and in practice. Well, I hope this broadcast has been a blessing to your walk with the Lord. Our desire is to reach as many people as possible. And to accomplish this, we need your help. By sharing our podcast and website with others, you will help us share God's Word around the world. Will you help us by telling others about the inspiring Word? You can find us by reading the Blue Ridge Christian News, by visiting theinspiringword.org, or through the iTunes podcast as the Inspiring Word. Thank you. And until next time, may God keep you firmly in His grip.